Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is AJ Capasso here from Talking with the Source. I'm here with my beautiful girlfriend, Tammy. Tammy, how are you today, beautiful?
Doing wonderful.
Awesome, awesome. Today we have a great guest to go on, but first I want to talk about something absolutely awesome, and that is Global Ghost Hunts 2025 event that is coming up this October. It is absolutely free to join and investigate to get the exposure that your team or yourself deserves. So you're going to want to join by going to www.globalghosthunt.com and find out all the information there, how we stream live, raw, uncut investigations from teams from around the globe. It's a major event, so you're going to want to join. It's completely free. Like I said, just head over to www.globalghosthunt.com. But today, Tammy, we have someone absolutely awesome that we had on before that you didn't get to see because you weren't on the show yet. And I'm super excited to have you a part of it because Tony has some absolutely amazing evidence that has been on multiple TV shows from around the world. He is from the UK. His name is Tony Ferguson. I'm going to bring up the picture right here real quick before I bring him forward. This is my buddy Tony Ferguson. He's from the UK. He's a paranormal researcher. And also, he just does this work because he loves it. And also, he advocates for locations so that they don't lose them over in the UK. Like, we have lost so many over here. So it's absolutely amazing. But let me bring my buddy forward. This is Tony Ferguson, everybody. Tony, what's up, my brother? I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah, I can hear you. It went quiet for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you. All right, cool. All right, my brother. So listen, I want to get right down to the nitty and gritty right for our viewers. I got a video that I want to put up that we showed, I believe it was last time too, but this video still has me in awe. If I can find it right here, let me bring it up. Where is it? Yeah, this one right here, I believe it is. I believe it's this one.
Bro, I think this feels very heavy in here. And then a couple of people started feeling heavy down below, saying, you know, it feels really heavy down here. Bear in mind, we're above them on top of the actual balcony.
Yeah, I feel right.
Something. Indeed. Watch closely. As Tony's camera captures something bizarre. A white figure moving across the room. Though no one sees it at the time, Tony believes he heard it.
When the actual entity walks across the screen, you hear this horrific screech. Can't even describe what it sounds like, but I heard it when we were in there, and it made my ears literally hurt.
Yeah, crazy, absolutely crazy capture. So yeah, I'll go into a little bit about it. They were doing a seance below. It was a paranormal event that we turned up to, and I don't participate in seances. I always like to observe, see what's going on. And the room felt horrible. I'm not gonna lie, it just felt like there was something really heavy in there, as I described on the show and stuff. And as I just said, it was the calm before the storm, something's gonna happen. Adam and the group dropped to the ground, and then that apparition just appeared just after in a space of about a minute and a half. So it was almost like a build up to a whole sort of crazy event. Yeah. And we ended up dragging the guy out of the circle, out of the room, because he felt like his body was being electrocuted. So yeah, it was one of those things. I always say things don't just appear out of nowhere and walk off. Do you see what I mean? It's like, it's one of those that just sort of appeared, as you saw, almost teleported, and then just, you saw a small little figure, and it made a weird screeching sound, which at the time I heard. Yeah, I describe it as sort of like, you ever seen the film Alien versus Predator?
Dude, I was just going to say it looked like an alien, to be honest. Yeah.
A lot of people have said that. Like, it looks like a gray or something. So It's one of those I always leave out there. You decide what you think it is. All I know is that it appeared out of there in front of the public, and everyone in that circle felt very, you know, dreaded inside. They said they just felt like, I don't know any of them people. That was the members of the public. And there were skeptics, non-believers in that circle. And when they saw that after and what they felt, it sort of added up to what was going on around us. So it pays to have locked off cameras when you're doing these things.
See, I love that. When you bring people in that are skeptics or like people that are just new to this, and all of a sudden they have an experience like that and you capture it on camera. I mean, dude, that thing looks like an alien. No joke. It really does. When you look down at it, like, and when it, the way that it captures at a certain point, it kind of has like the alien type figure to it. So it would freak me out if I saw that afterwards in that building or in that location and had that happen. I would have been freaked out. How did you feel?
It was like I described, the sound that I heard, the rest of them didn't hear it, but I'm quite sensitive to the ears, so I can call out disembodied voices. This sounded different to me. This sounded unworldly, and I actually held my ears when it happened. It was that almost like an unbearable sound in your ear that you couldn't, the frequency was so different to what I normally hear.
Yeah. How have you went back into this place?
I filmed there with Sky TV, and I filmed the last year of Halloween for like a Halloween special with the news there. And we were locked in with some skeptics and a non-believer who was a reporter. And she absolutely crapped herself with some of the things we caught in the prison, because it's actually a prison. That was the chapel of the prison. She was hearing disembodied voices that I was calling out, and we've caught it on camera. And basically everyone we've gone there with, we've had some sort of experience that we can't explain.
Wow. All right, guys, hold on one sec. I got to play this one more time. Tony, let me play it one more time for everybody.
Yes, certainly.
Bro, something just feels very heavy in here. And then a couple of people started feeling heavy down below, saying, you know, it feels really heavy down here. Bear in mind, we're above them on top of the actual balcony.
Yeah, I feel right.
Something. Indeed. Watch closely. As Tony's camera captures something bizarre. A white figure moving across the room. Though no one sees it at the time, Tony believes he heard it.
When the actual entity walks across the screen, you hear this horrific screech. I can't even describe what it sounds like, but I heard it when we were in there, and it made my ears literally hurt.
God, man.
It definitely looks like it's like an alien.
Yeah, I've had a mixed bag with the paranormal community. A lot of people say it looks like a child, but I'm like, well, its eyes are massive and its head's massive. It looks like it's got a weird shaped head. It's just been a mixed bag of what people think it is. I mean, for me, hearing that sound and being in there, I mean, it was coming towards us. We were on the balcony, and I just felt that presence come towards us when it happened. And that's why I said it was the calm before the storm. It was almost someone was warning me, something here is not good. And I always listen to that intuition. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. Have
there been other experiences similar to that at that location?
People have always had experiences there in that area. People say they feel uncomfortable. I mean, it's like I always say, a lot of these things that happen, a lot of people don't document on camera. So it's personal experiences, you know, that a lot of people say they felt heavy in there and stuff. But there could be just be things that are happening that people are not realizing around them, which is why I always say have a camera with you at all times, you know, and document these things. Because in that particular area, a lot of people say that, you know, it just doesn't feel nice, even though it's a chapel area. And the whole prison doesn't feel good, to be fair, but then most prisons don't, because it holds a lot of trauma and negativity. So it's definitely one of those that are interesting.
Absolutely, man. Well, dude, I tell you what, you have some awesome evidence you sent over to us. I want to keep going here because there's a lot that I want to show people. So let's go on to the next video real quick. I'll let you explain it right afterwards, but let me show it and we'll see what's up. So it's about a 2-minute clip. So here we go.
This is a quick capture of basically a mist that just literally comes out of nowhere. It shoots really fast towards the left-hand side, and it just seems to stop and then hover in front of the camera. Now, we actually saw this to the naked eye and wasn't aware that we caught it on camera at the time. It just looked like a big mass, just sort of like hovering, and then just disappears. It's a really bizarre capture, and the fact that we both saw it at the same time with to the naked eye is amazing. So I thought I would just share it with you. Leave a comment below and let me know what you think. It's a really weird one because it's coming out with a lot of force, and it just seems to sort of shapeshift and become this massive mass. Really weird capture, but there's a full video to come with a few more captures that were caught in there. Really, really haunted cave. A lot going on in there. A hell of a lot. We're glad to get out of there, but thanks for watching. Let us know what you think in the comment section, and I'll speak to you all soon. Take care, guys. Bye.
Torch. Oh, what was that? Oh, hello. That appeared right in front of the camera.
I saw that.
Torch.
Yeah, it's almost great. It's just like, you know, I love it. It makes it sound great, brother. But tell me, dude, where was that at? What was it like for you there? Everything, talk to us.
Yeah, so that was at Conglaze Cavern. It was a cave. They used to have smugglers, like children working down there. We caught a few children's voices down there as well before we caught that. Again, there's no reason to be hearing children down there because it's a locked-off cave and we had access to it ourselves. That was just basically us just walking around. Again, it was quite warm in there. I was wearing sort of summer clothes because it was quite humid. There was no, I always look for breaths and stuff, like it could be a breath that's doing that. But obviously, Bev was behind me. I was in front. This seemed to come from the side and then stop, change direction and hover. You know, and I tried to recreate that when I was there and I couldn't. So, and I couldn't even make a breath when I was there because it was quite warm in there because it was summertime when we went there. So it was one of those that, with all the disembodied voices we caught in there, some saying get out from a male standard, and also some children's voices. It was just one of those that just sort of added to the night, I guess. But yeah, it is what it is. I mean, for people can decide what they want for themselves. I mean, we saw that to the eye. Didn't realize it came out on camera, but luckily it did.
Nice.
An amazing catch. It really is.
Yeah, so what we're going to do, Tony, I'm going to show it one more time for everybody so they can get another view at it. So check this out. It happens real quick, and then basically he goes back and he does it slow-mo. So check this out, guys.
This is a quick capture of basically a mist that just literally comes out of nowhere. It shoots really fast towards the left-hand side, and it just seems to stop and then hover in front of the camera. Now, we actually saw this to the naked eye and wasn't aware that we caught it on camera at the time. It just looked like a big mass, just sort of like hovering and then just disappears. It's a really bizarre capture. And the fact that we both saw it at the same time with to the naked eye is amazing. So I thought I would just share it with you. Leave a comment below and let me know what you think. It's a really weird one because it's coming out with a lot of force. And it just seems to sort of shapeshift and become this massive mass. Really weird capture. But there's a full video to come with a few more captures that were caught in there. Really, really haunted cave. A lot going on in there. A hell of a lot. We're glad to get out of there. But thanks for watching. Let us know what you think in the comment section, and I'll speak to you all soon. Take care, guys. Bye.
Torch. Oh, what was that? Oh, hello. That appeared right in front of the camera.
I saw that.
Torch.
So yeah, man, that was absolutely awesome, man. That capture right there. Now, tell me, were you feeling something before you saw that, or was it just like you just saw, like you said, and then that was, you know, basically it? You just thought maybe it might have been a breath at first. But tell me, did you feel anything in that area?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why we mainly sort of were in that area. We kept on hearing children's voices. We caught one saying hello, like a very young child going hello, a couple of times we were in there, and we caught that on camera. So we spent a bit of time in around that area. Whether that was a child, I don't know, sort of making itself sort of, you know, appear to us in some sort of form. It didn't feel threatening, so that was a good thing. But, you know, all the way around, you just felt like there was someone trying to get our attention. So yeah, it wasn't one of the worst places we've been to, but there were certainly a lot of things going on that we couldn't explain. And the fact that we were sort of underground as well, it's like an underground cavern. You've got no external voices from outside or things that can interfere. We left there with so many things on camera that we couldn't explain.
Absolutely.
Finding children's voices down in a cavern or a cave, that's beyond me.
Unfortunately, in the UK, it was very well known with a lot of the sort of cave systems, and they got them to work down there. And I've found quite a lot of caves that we have done. We've experimented with a parapsychologist at Walkie Hole Caves, and we were locked down there with him, just us. And we asked the question, is there any reason to be hearing any external voices? You're that far on the ground, etc. And he said no. And we caught the same with him. Kids' voices, disembodied voices saying, get out. A male voice a couple of times down there. So a lot of things have happened in these caves, especially to children, where obviously in history they don't talk about it.
Wow. See, I never knew that. I never knew that they had the kids working down in the caves over there.
Mines, caves, anything. The kids did all the work, and unfortunately a lot of those that did die, it wasn't reported, or it was kept hush-hush kind of thing, so that, you know, they didn't shut them down kind of thing. So not pleasant.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, man, that is an absolutely amazing capture. This next capture that you got was, we're going to talk a little bit about it for a second, because I know this one, is when, I believe it's the jail cell door, it closes when you guys aren't around.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
It was absolutely awesome capture. I'm going to show it right now, but you want to talk about it after, or you want to talk about it before?
What would you prefer? It's up to you.
It's up to you.
I'll go for it quickly so that people can sort of see what they're looking for. So basically, we left it locked off camera. We went to this fort, etc., and they had a prison room, and they kept on saying that this door kept on shutting its own. They couldn't, you know, find an external source for it. So I said, have you ever left a locked off camera there, you know, and just see what happens, because if it keeps happening regularly, it could be something that doesn't like the door being open. So I did a little experiment with a fellow investigator, Paul Sassel, and his dog was with us at the time in the summer. So it was a nice, calm day. We left the locked-off camera there, pulled the whole cell door right back to the wall, tested it just to see if it sort of could move on its own or whatever, but it was solid to the back wall. There's also a very thin wooden door at the back behind it. We should look out for that, because, again, if the wind was blowing this way, it would be shutting the cell door. Which, again, it was on a TV show recently, and a parapsychologist did point that out, that, you know, if it was something to do with that, then, you know, it would be wind coming from that direction, goes that way. So we tried to sort of look for different explanations to what could cause it, but it's one of those that I just don't think whoever's there likes the door being open. Paul's dog, Sam, actually led us to the door because he heard the bang, because we were outside at the time. He came running to the door. So, again, dogs are quite sensitive. It was quite a capture. Again, it's natural. You know, it's one of those that we've just gone to it. Oh, the door shut. Didn't know until when we looked back on the footage how it closed, and we saw it. You guys are going to watch now.
That's awesome. All right, let me bring it forward.
Tony Ferguson is an experienced paranormal investigator. And he's also a medium. Having watched some of his footage, seen the stuff that he captures on camera, I think he's brilliant.
When I know that he's referred to as the ghost whisperer, immediately that brings up a perception of somebody that is experienced at investigating, but also somebody who very much takes the spiritual approach to investigation rather than the scientific side.
Tony has got a history there of investigating the paranormal and documenting this all on video.
He's got a YouTube channel, lots of different videos on there, and clips are sometimes quite interesting.
Well, I've been lucky enough to be a paranormal investigator and pretty much go around all the most haunted locations in the UK. Fort Gilcica, I was with a fellow investigator called Paul Sassell, and he was accompanied by his little dog, Sam, and a lot of reports are poltergeist activity within the building. And I thought to myself then, why has nobody ever put a locked-off camera on this door? We went off and basically started investigating another part of the actual location. Believe it or not, the dog, Sam, actually heard the bang. He came running towards the door. We followed him, came back to find the door shut. Looking back on the footage, the wooden door on the back wasn't moving. The steel door was very heavy. I believe there's a prison guard that walks in and out that corridor that doesn't like that door being open. It was almost like a caretaker walking by, thinking that door shouldn't be open and closing it. You know, a prison room would be shut, so why is it open? And they've shut it. It was just a case of you were just seeing a reenactment of what they would do in their time. I always say, leave locked off cameras everywhere, because sometimes it's not when it's always around you, it's when you're not around it happens. The only logical explanation is that it was kind of unhinged, unbalanced, and it, you know, naturally closed on its own. But the two investigators walk away having propped it open, and that camera's locked off. There was no one there. You couldn't see any wires, cables, and the door closes by itself. I believe that it could be a spirit.
When I watched that footage for the first time, I was genuinely impressed by it. We've got a static camera. We've got enough movement of the two investigators to show that there was nobody behind that door that could have caused it to move. So, very impressed.
So, yeah.
Well, that's Dr. Kieran O'Keefe, who actually was on our show. He's a good friend of ours, and I tell you, man, he's a great parapsychologist. So to hear him, you know, actually get to comment on a lot of your stuff, which I've got to see, has been really awesome to see him do that. I'd love to get both of you on the show one day. That would be absolutely awesome.
I'm one of those. I love to talk about anything paranormal, whether it's on the sort of skeptic side or the open side. I mean, I've been lucky enough to work with a few parapsychologists doing this. So yeah, it's always interesting to hear different theories and stuff. But yeah, the other thing what people need to realize is, well, what I always try and do on the camera is I always leave a time and date below it. Because again, for me, it's important, because then you guys can see that it's not been altered or, you know, because a lot of people could easily do CGI, which is a thing that a lot of people like doing now. So I always like to leave a time and date on the bottom of all my videos, so that people can see you're watching it in real time, in a sense, because you can see the time, you can see the date. And for me, it's just better that way, I guess, as an investigator.
You know, one thing that I can say to our viewers is that if you ever come across Tony's stuff, which I would love for everyone to go and follow him and become a subscriber of his as well, because he does it in a fashion of it's live, it's raw, it's uncut type of editing. It's not like editing where someone's going in and editing little tiny pieces of stuff. No, if he's editing something, it's just a replay to show you exactly what part he caught, like we were just showing you, stuff like that. But it wasn't, you know, he doesn't go back. Everything is live, it's raw, it's very, you know, to some people it may be boring, because in the beginning they got to wait a little bit to get to the action part, you know what I mean? So, you know, to some people it may be like that boring sense, but if you really love true real evidence, telling you, Tony's a person to follow, because his stuff is absolutely amazing. So, Tony, thank you. I mean, so much for coming on again and showing us these clips. We got a ton more to go through, but so far, man, it's just been so awesome to get to talk to you again. How's it been going? Like, what's been going on in your life with the investigating everything with the buildings that you've been trying to save and stuff? How has that been working out?
So yeah, so when I last spoke to you, Schecter Mallet was looking to close down. I went to the media, etc., and spoke to them about the, you know, how important it is for the UK as well as the paranormal. That's been saved, which is brilliant. They've managed to sort of, like, I don't know how they've done it, but they have. So whatever way they've done it, it's good. I think enough people spoke about it, and that's what's important. I took a little break over last year over Christmas due to moving and stuff. And and then basically got back into it and started investigating solidly again. And I did the media thing with the Sun News, which was at Schecter Mallet just after, which was a lady that was a skeptic. And funny enough, the camera guy didn't believe in the paranormal. He left halfway through. He was filming it for the Sun newspaper and stuff, and he left. And I ended up recording the whole thing because he saw a door open on its own. I didn't see it. He did. And it freaked him out and he left. So I ended up recording the whole thing. So it's like, yeah, it was one of those that was a weird one. And since then, I've done a few TV show interviews and stuff, a few podcasts radio-wise. And location-wise, I've just been meeting people in the paranormal this year, really, and sort of collabing with people that I think are genuine and, you know, just sort of showing them a different approach to the paranormal and taking them to some good locations. And, yeah, it's been a really interesting year. Different, but interesting.
Yeah. No, hey, I feel you, man. I completely feel you. That is awesome, man. I'm so happy for you, dude, because, you know, this type of evidence needs to get out more. It needs to be shown more to people. And that's the reason why I do this. I try to, you know, show people's evidence from around the world because, you know, there is something more to us and more than this. So, you know, I think it's very important.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
So here we go. I'm going to show this clip. I'll end up stopping it in between because it's like a 10-minute clip. But there's a certain part that I did want to show, so I'm going to let it play, and we'll talk a little bit about the section.
Yep.
Can you move the beat, please? Come towards the beat and move the beat, please. Any children? That's all for...
That's me.
If there's any children here, can you make a massive banging noise, please? Can you bang to show us where you are?
That's the door.
What the fuck?
So...
Right there, man. That was the part right there that I just was like, oh my God. You were standing right next to it, dude. What did you think? Like, what did you feel?
Well, I actually heard, because where we were actually at the time, I heard someone walking down the stairs. Now, we were there in the daytime. It's actually like a manor farm. It's like an old farmhouse. And I heard someone walking downstairs. I sort of pointed upstairs, like there's walking above us. And as that happened, there's actually a weight holding that door. You can see it move across the floor. So I've been back with a team a couple of years later after to show them. They're like, bloody hell, how did it move that? So it's one of those where, you know, we were there in the daytime. There was a few things that we caught there. We've been back recently at night as well, and we've caught children's voices there. It was believed it was a children's school, but again, I found out since it wasn't. They've created it as that. But even so, we still caught children's voices in there. And obviously with the whole weight thing, moving the door, I just thought, to be fair, my reaction was almost like, you know, what the hell just happened? Because I was laughing because for me, it was like, you know, it was still daytime. I wasn't expecting it. I heard footsteps above. I heard this dragon sound behind me. I've turned around. It's like, what the, you know, kind of thing. So it was one of those. I just looked at it at the time and thought, interesting.
Yeah.
But then when I tried to recreate and I was there, I would have had to push it with some force. We stayed there an hour or two after. Just to see if it could be wind, but then wind wouldn't be able to move that because it's got a weight on the door. There was a little bit of a blow breeze in there in general because the door was open, but again, it never happened again. So it's just one of those that... Hi, John, hope you're well. It's Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay, hope you're well. I actually spoke to you earlier on. It's one of those that, I look back on and think that was at the very start of my journey. So, you know, and it's... always an amazing capture because I didn't expect much because one, it being daytime, and it's one of the things I used to get criticized for when I first started this. Why does he always capture stuff in the daytime? Why does he go out and investigate in the daytime? But most of my experience as a kid were in the daytime. So
yeah.
For me, seeing a figure in my granddad's house in the daytime, logically in my brain, it's like, well, you know, why does it have to be at night? You know, so just because it gets dark doesn't mean to say they're not active in the daytime. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to start out when I first doing this in the daytime to see what I capture. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to capture some things that can't be explained. Or again, it's just having cameras and just making sure you've got a couple of cameras around you. So you've got everything covered so you can see what's going on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Go ahead, man.
Well, I mean, what you're saying about daytime and nighttime, I mean, paranormal activity is going to happen. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. If it's going to happen, it'll happen. I had 100%. A lot of experiences in the daytime myself.
Yeah. No, I agree. And unfortunately, it's when I first started, it was a bit of a, you know, because I was capturing stuff, people were like, oh, you know, it's, you can't do it in the daytime. It's, you know, it's against, not against the paranormal law kind of thing, but, you know, it's just one of those things that for me, it's a personal journey. So, you know, everyone's got to do it for their own reasons and try not to listen to the noise is what I say, because unfortunately, you're always going to get people that are going to criticize, but at the same point, you just got to look past that and say, that's fine, that's your opinion, and move on.
Exactly. You have to do that because you want to know it. You can't give anyone else that type of energy, you know?
No, not at all.
So let me show it one more time, but this thing is awesome, man. Such a great capture. Here we go.
Can you move the beast, please? Come towards the beach and move the beach, please. Any children? That's all of her.
That's me.
If there's any children here, can you make a massive banging noise, please? Can you bang to show us where you are?
That'll never get old, man.
No. Like I said, my reaction in itself is like, sometimes, because I got ADHD, so I always think that just heightens things in general. And I laugh a lot of things that happen now that are paranormal, because it's almost like a reaction, like, I can't believe it just happens. It's almost like a, I don't know, defense mechanism. It's like, shit, you know, that's mad, you know, and rather than scaring them running away kind of thing, I think sometimes when, I mean, I've worked with people in the past where we've met them in the public and stuff, and you've missed the evidence by the time, you know, you've screamed and bloody ran off and stuff. I'm not like that, because I've experienced so much from a young age. Right. It just becomes more natural. So, you know, it's probably a better thing really on camera than obviously running off and scare jumping.
Yeah.
I think it's great that you don't run from it. I mean, as an investigator, you're asking for something and then you're getting it and you're not running from it.
No, exactly. I mean, to be fair, the banging sound to me behind, I didn't even realize the door shut. It was like, it was only until I turned around, I was like, you know, but it was quite loud. I mean, the cameras picked up on the, I could hear the weight being dragged at the time as well, but obviously it happened so quickly, as it always does. And obviously I didn't get to see the full motion, whereas Bev could see behind, because she was filming it, the camera just go, and then the door just go bang, and the weight move across the room. So yeah, it was one of those that was behind my back, as they say, but it is what it is.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, that's such a great capture. 100%, such a great capture.
I like that you explained that it was a weight, because when I first saw it, I heard the noise and I was like, what was that?
Yeah, it's almost like a, I don't know, it's got like a handle. It's, I don't know how much it weighs. It's quite heavy. I mean, I go to the gym all the time, so I picked it up and thought, well, you know, it's hard, you know, heavy enough to hold that door. And if it was wind, they wouldn't move it. You know, it's there for a purpose, to stop the door from closing on people, because it is a daytime place for people to go and, you know, visit, etc. So it would have been heavy enough to, you know, not slam on people. That's why I always put out to people. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. I mean, you know, we were there for a good couple of hours after, and it never did it again. Didn't do it before. You know, that was sort of in between the investigation. And so it's one of those that no one's ever reported it happening again. So, you know, if they have, I've not seen it. So it's just one of those that's happened, I guess.
And it did it on your request too, which was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you'll see me point upstairs. I could hear like a walk, but I just thought that was banging the sound at the top, like someone walking down the stairs at the time. And that's why I point up, like, I just heard something. And then like that straight after. So did I just hear someone walk down, and did someone shut the door just behind me? I don't know. Yeah. All I know is it's just one of those that happened.
Imagine you got a ghost and he's just sitting there and he's just like, this guy is just annoying the piss out of me right now, you know? He is like, goes downstairs and shut the door on you, you know?
It could well be. I mean, the amount of locations I get to when I go to sort of forts and prisons saying get out and stuff. But then I hear it on a lot of people's videos. even people that say they don't capture stuff, I watch them and think they've just caught a get out there. And it's quite regularly, because you've got people there that are very territorial, and you know, they're almost like top dog kind of thing, you know, especially in prisons and forts and stuff. Yep. You know, they're very much like, you shouldn't be here, get out, you know, and authority. Yep. Kind of thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, this next video that you're going to show us, I'm going to let you speak on it afterwards, because I haven't got to watch this one yet, so I'm excited to check this out. Yes, here we go.
Is there a little child here called Thomas?
Thomas?
Oh no!
You're joking! You've got to be kidding me. Hi, Thomas.
That's scary.
You said that before the app.
So yeah, so I don't believe in apps. This was an app called Spirit Talker. It's not I don't believe in it. I've caught disembodied voices responding to apps, but I don't really use apps as a you know, a goal. So Emily was using the Spirit Talker app, and I had a little child's voice go Thomas just before. Now, as I called it out, the app said it straight after. So I can't explain that, because whether it's recording my voice on their app or whatever, because I've never used it as such before, you know, we started using it on, and it was in an asylum. Now, if you listen carefully, just after I said that, you can actually hear a child's voice there going, me.
Really?
Yeah, Siri, if you listen to it, you're like a me, almost like agreeing that, you know, because obviously there's two females there, Emily and Debbie, but that none of us acknowledged it, but there's almost a little voice going, me, you'll hear it if you listen to it again.
Oh, let's check this out one more time. Hold on one sec.
It felt like if someone hung himself.
Are you some?
Is there a little child here called Thomas?
Thomas?
Oh no!
You're joking! You've got to be kidding me. Hi, Thomas.
That's scary.
You said that before the app.
So yeah, it's after Emily says, you've got to be kidding me, there's like a me. A female, a little child talking over him, like me.
I did hear it a little bit. It's hard because I don't have my headphones on, but yeah, I did hear it a little bit. It's crazy though, when you get the Thomas right after you said it though, through the app, because it's like, you know, I'm the same way as you. I'm very skeptical with obviously apps. So like, I really will go through the app, turn it on, and like listen to the app to make sure what things are, you know, sounds and what really aren't, if I'm going to use an app to try and test it out, because I have a hard time just because I don't know who is creating the app. And if they are creating the app, I don't know them personally enough to know if they're really trying to, like, you know, fake some stuff. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard for me. But even on fake apps, I've actually gotten responses. So there has to be some way for the frequency or vibration or whatever that these apps, this phone or whatever the devices give off, that these spirits can manipulate in some sort of way to be able to communicate to us through. So,
yeah, I mean, I think for me, because obviously where I'm capturing these disembodied voices, I've a couple of times when these apps have said words, I'm like, you've just got a response there from a disembodied voice saying, responding like yes or whatever. So sometimes there could be words in these banks that are coming out where the spirit's there that are actually acknowledging it. It's like, that makes sense to me. Like when we ask questions, you know, we always ask several questions, because I always believe if you throw the right question out, they're going to use that energy to contact you. Whereas if you just keep saying, move this, touch that, they're like, nah, not interested. But if you ask questions about them, what happened to them, you know, and it's the same principle. If an app comes out with a word like, he died here or she died here or murder, and they're like, yes, and you get a disembodied voice going, yes, I did, or something like that. I've had things like that before, what's happened. I find that interesting, because there's a that spirit is hearing that app for its frequency, so it obviously can hear it like it can hear us. So I do find that interesting.
Yeah, absolutely, man, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if I ever told you about the time when I had my near-death experience, but I'm pretty sure we talked about it, but if we didn't, it was weird for me because I was able to hear and see everything when I was staring at my body, when I was outside my body, like no problem. Like, and like I was telling everybody, I could be over the person's shoulder on the left, the paramedic on the left, in his thoughts. Same thing on the right side with that paramedic at the same time, simultaneously, all at once, understanding everything individually. So it's just so crazy to, like, you know, hear, you know, to think about what they can do with, you know, apps and stuff like that, because I felt completely invincible and indestructible, obviously, as outside of my body, you know what I mean?
Yeah, astral projection has the same sort of principle, you know, like yeah. I've done it a couple of times, and you know, it's, you can, I do believe if you do it and you conquer it, you could, you come back and you learn things from that side, you bring it back to you to this side, because obviously when you do astral projection, like you just said there, with the near death experience, you yep. hear and see everything so clearly, because you haven't got this 3D form body, you're not a physical sense, you're a light being. So you bring that back with you each time you go and do it. It's like a bit like a school lesson, you know, you come back and you're more sort of like in tune with what's around you, because you're used to that frequency, you know, it's coming back to you. Whereas a lot of people, I mean, my mama had a near death experience, and you know, and she actually floated above her body. She was dead for a fair few minutes. She wow. watched the whole procedure, and she told the doctors, you know, you shouldn't be poking tongues poking a spoon in people's mouths if they're having a fit, you know, it's you know, wow. And the lady looked at her like, how do you know that? Because you were dead, you know. There's I hear so many stories doing this, you know, of people, they tell me, etc. So there's something in it, there is. And obviously, like you said, these things are around us. I just think that we've lost that ability because of technology, you know. It's always been within us to tune into it, but unfortunately we're surrounded by technology. And I think if you separate yourself from it, you know, and have a bit of both, then you know, you can sort of tune in and then tune out, like I do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a distraction, definitely, for sure. Yeah. For sure. One thing that we have never really talked about, me and you, man, and I always wanted to talk about it, was your medium abilities. When about did you figure out that you were a medium, and when did you when did you start actually, like, you know, doing, you know, medium type work?
So I don't believe in the word medium or psychic. I believe that we've all got that ability. I hate it, because I think that separates us all as human beings, because
no, absolutely.
Yeah, everyone's got that with them. I don't do mediumship work as a whole, like give people readings and stuff. What I do is I just document what I capture on locations, put it up there. And when I work with people, I try and get them to see a different way of working. And most people I do meet, they end up working in that role. They go on investigations and they start hearing things that they didn't before. Yeah. So it's almost like a different way of working. You know, that's why I would say the mediumship is, to me, and also the psychic ability stuff, it's nonsense, because we've all got it. It's just the case, again, some people have fathered how to use it. Some people have always had it. And, you know, and I just don't like the terms, because I think it separates us all as individuals. You know, you could do it, I could do it. You know, all three of us could do it. It's just a case of getting back to that, you know, getting back to basics, starting again and learning how to use it.
I agree 100%. I believe that you're absolutely right. I believe it's dormant inside all of us, and it's like a muscle, and you kind of have to work that muscle, you know what I'm saying, a little bit to get it going, and then it starts going. But, you know, to really truly fully control it, obviously you really have to really work at that. And I find that so fascinating that we all have this ability inside of us. And if we all just believed and understood that, the things that we are capable of would be astronomical, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, if you've had a paranormal experience, you're a medium, because you've experienced, you sensed it, you've picked up on it, you've seen it, you've heard it. Yeah. So therefore, that's my whole point. So everyone that's had the experience, you could class yourself as a medium, because you've already experienced something that's phenomenal, or you can't explain, you know, and you're tuning into a different frequency and you're seeing something or hearing something or picking up something that others ain't. So, you know, to me, it's just a case of separating yourself from words and meanings in this world, and, you know, and just looking at, you know what, we've all got a gift. It's just tuning in back into it, going back to the old school. Ooh. And asking the right questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, man, you said you've astral traveled, right?
Yeah,
I want to actually ask you, have you done that too, Dave, before?
No, I actually have not.
You haven't done that? Okay, so I've astral traveled myself. What was your experience like, Tony?
If you want me to be honest with you, it's, I always say, like, you know, what so that's to, so below is up above kind of thing. You know, you've got good and bad. You know, people make it. I mean, when I do paranormal investigations, you'll get people that swear, disembodied voice swearing, this, that, the other. You know, it's no different. You know, you don't just suddenly leave your physical body and everything's like love and light. It's not. You've got good and bad up above. So, you know, same down here. You know, I don't believe in the whole heaven sort of stuff, because obviously I believe that once we leave here, we've got choices, and I think we need to make the right choices. And you know, and that's something that's a longer story. You know, obviously I think if you look at deep down on this earth in general, it's quite a barbaric place, and you know, there's a lot of trauma, a lot of suffering, and you know, and personally, the reincarnation sort of side of things, I would think, why would you want to come back here? Because you know, you can come back and do all that again. I, you know, to me, that seems a bit more of a trap. But again, that's going into something completely different, and another show maybe. But yeah, there was some positive stuff there, 100%. But there was also stuff there, like, you know, you think, hang on, this is a bit weird, you know, a bit trippy.
Yeah.
And you know, but people wouldn't sort of understand it, because unless you've actually been there, and you know, I didn't need no drugs for this. It's all done from meditation and using frequencies and stuff. Then you know, it's hard to explain, but like you just said, you hear things and see things so much clearer. You know, everything feels lighter. You're aware of your awareness is you know, it's you can't even describe it as a human being. It's just you know, imaginable. It's just crazy. But then also, it's all about power of thought. So if you're a negative person, you could potentially put yourself in a negative position. Whereas if you're a positive person, you know, it's all power of thought. So therefore, I wouldn't advise doing it if you're in a negative place, because potentially, you know, you could put yourself in that place. So again, it's all to do with the, you know, how you're feeling in general, and, you know, letting go of the trauma on this side. And then when you're on the other side, things would be much more an easier ride.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Do you have any questions for me?
No, I've always been afraid of astral travel, honestly.
Yeah, I've never, well, when I first heard about it, I was like, yeah, you know, like, did I believe it at first? Because again, when I first started all this, because of my childhood experience, I was trying to poo-poo a lot of things and say, yeah, it just could be me as a child. But, at first I thought it probably wouldn't happen, you know. I spoke to my brother about it. He said he did it a couple of times. And I tried it, and I thought, well, there were things that happened that I can't explain. And you know, it did sort of scare me when it did happen, because I was like, when it first did happen, I was like, am I ever, this is it, how do I get back into my body? But it's all power of thought. It's like, you know, you've just got to learn to sort of switch off, because we don't, again, our brain's almost like age. You've got one side that's negative, one's telling you the positive, one's telling you negative, you know, and unfortunately that's the way it is. But you don't have that on that side, so then your thought process is your own thought process. So that's where you let go of the attachments of the physical, and you know, and see things differently, you know, because everything here is materialistic. On that side, it's not. Everything is you. So therefore, what you think is where you, you know, if you want to go back into your body, you say it to yourself, you're back in. If you want to go somewhere, you say it to yourself, you're there. But obviously you just got to detach from the physical and anything that's got, you know, any trauma and stuff. Otherwise, you could potentially put yourself in that trauma for that small amount of time.
That's exactly why I have never attempted, because I didn't feel like I personally was like full or strong enough to be able to handle that at this point.
Yeah.
So I know I have a lot of work I would have to do before I would even attempt something like that.
No, I agree. It's the same with the paranormal investigations. You know, sometimes if you're in a bad place, I wouldn't advise people to go there, because you're gonna draw in that, you know, that negative side, or something's going to feed off that, you know. And this is why I say about the good and the bad, you know, you've got things that love to feed off our energy on this planet, as they do in, you know, in there, etc. Not everything's good, but at the same point, not everything's bad. So you just got to know, work with what you feel. And that's why on investigations I always say to people, you know, if you see someone in the street and their vibes are bad, yeah, a lot of people say it's an investigation, something doesn't feel right around me, it feels horrible. Go by that instinct, what you would do in the street. There's a reason why it doesn't feel good, because there's something there that doesn't feel good around your energy. And that's your energy telling you, no, you know, get away kind of thing. I don't want to be near this. And it's the same vibe when you see someone in the street and you think, gives me the creeps, or she gives me the creeps, or something that's a bit off about them. You know, it's the same sort of pattern. You just got to go by your instincts, your energy, what's telling you, you know, go with them sometimes, because it's there for a reason.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely. I think it's absolutely amazing. My one experience I had was very jaw-dropping for me, and I hope that I have another one, but I don't try to force them on. But if it happens, it happens, you know?
Yeah, just let it natural, man. It's always the best way, because like you say, you'll be ready. When you're ready, that's what I always say.
Yeah. Okay, so here's one of the last videos that we have. I want to show this video real quick, and then you can talk about it.
Yep.
Wow, yeah. Wow. Yeah,
this is quite an interesting one, because we were given permission by the Skirrid Inn, the lovely owners. It's quite a well-known pub in Wales and the UK, and they shut the pub early for us, actually, to go and document some evidence there. And we left several locked off cameras there. They left the pub, which was once a prison, and where we were, it was actually like a court where they used to send all the people for hangings, which were down below. I left a locked off camera there. Me and Bev went into the other room. There's three rooms there to go and set off another locked off camera. You can hear us talking, and it sounds like something knocking the camera down and then dragging it across the table. Yeah. I didn't know until probably about an hour after what happened, because it's like the camera's down. So obviously for me, I just thought, it just fell down, because I didn't remember which position I put it in.
Yeah. So,
And literally, as I've watched back on the footage, you can just hear like dragging across the table. Is there something didn't want us to film there? Now, when we were there, we caught a couple of disembodied voices. Again, it's the pub in itself's not attached to anything. It's in the middle of nowhere in Wales. We caught a woman's voice saying my name, going, Tony. That was caught on camera. And then someone we had footsteps just before walking upstairs. Now, I get my name called out quite a lot on locations, and I usually notice when that happens, something bad's coming around. Like we start hearing something, or the energy changes, almost like there's a warning that something's coming. And I usually call out on camera, going, someone just said my name. That for me now, I get what that's about. It's almost a case of keep your guard up. Something you know, not so nice is coming in.
And that's cool that you've gotten that. That's really awesome that you've been able to interpret that in that way, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's happened so many times, and obviously where we go to quite a lot of traumatic places like forts and prisons and stuff, you know, and even sometimes asylums and hospitals.
You know,
you go to these places and you don't know what you're going to encounter, and unfortunately, it's not all pleasant, but it's not all demonic. Like, you know, like people say, it's just characters. You know, you go to a prison, you're not going to walk in and everyone's going, "Hey, mate, do you want a cup of tea?" No, they're like, you know, do you see what I'm saying? So you're going to get that, unfortunately. Anytime anyone experiences something bad, they straight away they go to the root demon, and it's like, well, no, it's a bad experience. But then if you walked into a prison, I could have a bad experience. You could. Do you know what I mean? It's just one of those things. So I try and treat it the same principles I do as a living. You know, just go with the flow and see what happens.
Absolutely. Well, man, I can't believe that our hour is almost up right now. I can't believe it. It flew by. Every time we talk, brother, it flies by. I love it. It's wild. There's
so many things to go into with the paranormal. It's like there's so many aspects of it. And, you know, and it's always nice to dive into different subjects. And, I mean, there's loads more capture I could show you guys, and, you know, disembodied voices and stuff. And, like, obviously, again, it could be for another show in the future.
Yeah, no, absolutely, 100%. I was just going to bring it up to you and say we're definitely bringing out again because there's so much more evidence that I want to show of yours, because I was going through your TikTok last night, man, and there's some of the stuff that's on there is just absolutely incredible. Like, absolutely incredible. Like, the one that I can't find that I've been dying to find is you caught an apparition in this castle, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And the woman, like, went through the door, like, or she, like, opened the door or whatever, and it was caught on camera. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. That's
okay. Can you talk about that one real quick? I know we don't have that one to show, but can you talk about that one real quick?
Wait, about the lady that walked past on the Victory. Is that the one you're about, or you're about the
It was a full-bodied apparition.
Yeah, so I was on the HMS Victory. The staff let me in a bit earlier because I said, can I just get a bit of footage, record the actual ship itself before the public get on there? So, and they're all men that worked in there, etc. So I've gone around just to film it as like a little intro. And I noticed when I look back on my footage, this woman. And the thing is, they wouldn't let anyone on the ship now with the clothing that she'd wear, because it's very low. And you've got the stairs. They were very small people back then, so they had to, the footwear had to be very sort of specific, because obviously the flooring is wooden. And this woman seems to be hunched over like that and just walks over. Now, when I've gone back to go and recreate this, the lady was walking to a dead end.
Yeah.
So to nowhere. So I asked the staff when I was there, "Do you have any females that work here?" I showed them, and they said no. They said we don't know anyone like that that's ever worked here. We have cleaners here sometimes, but they leave before, you know, the ship, before we come in and open to the public. Now, and they said, what doesn't make sense is that she's walking into the middle of nowhere. And they know I came in the ship on my own because they allowed me to come and do a bit of footage first. But obviously that she sort of hunched over like that, best way to describe it, looks quite old and frail, and just sort of walks across. Didn't even notice at the time, to be fair. I was too busy panning around, getting like an intro for the video of the ship. And when who the hell's that, you know? And then obviously I've gone back since and spoke to the people there, and they even said the same. We wouldn't allow people on that ship with that sort of footwear, especially because, but then apparently there was I think it's Lord Nelson, I believe it is, or something, or whoever used to live there used to have a lady on the ship at the time, and she was always well to do, well dressed. Is it a residual Stone Tape theory? I don't know. It's just one of those that, again, I've had a camera documenting it, and it's there.
Yeah. No, it's an incredible capture. I mean, you have to, I'll show it to you at that point. If you could send it to me after this, Tony, that'd be amazing. Yeah, I want to show her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, we'll put it up on the page too, because it's absolutely incredible. It really truly is. Is there any questions you want to ask Tony before we head out?
Not really questions. I just wanted to say that, like, your work is really, like, I don't know. It's really kind of like, I look up to you, the work that you've done. It's very inspirational as an investigator, because it speaks to the character that you have as an investigator, because you have filmed, like, you've formed like a rapport. When you walk into a location and you speak to them as if they're living, that's amazing. I love that. You're not like provoking them or starting an argument with them. You're trying to talk to them and open a dialogue, and you're getting this amazing evidence, and that's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't even see it as a job no more. It's so natural, and it's like, I know it sounds stupid, but I believe they're there. So I believe that's one of the things that it's got that belief and that passion with it. I think that helps. I mean, I was a kid, I used to work in a care home, and I always relate this when we go and investigate care homes and nursing homes, that I used to go and talk to the ladies in there when, you know, I was still at school, but I used to go there and work in the evenings, and I used to go and talk to them because, you know, to hear about their stories and stuff. It's the same sort of thing. You know, I'm trying to give them a voice to hear their story, what happened. Yeah. And, you know, that's how I, whenever I go to a care home, I relate that to that. You know, I say, you know, I used to go and talk to the ladies and gentlemen and you know, in these places and hear their stories. You know, what happened to you? You know, why are you still here? So for me, I don't see it as like a, it's just normal now. I think it's just become so normal that, it's just natural. I think that's why I would say just yourself and the camera sometimes is all you need, you know, and just go with what you feel with the location. If it's horrible, sometimes be nice, because you're still going to get a horrible reaction, because that person's still going to be horrible, but you're still going to get a reaction of get out or F off, or, you know, but you still got, you know, I always say, well, at least they've actually used that energy to say, get lost, don't want to talk to you. It's something, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I totally agree with that. At least they did that.
Yeah, it's something. Like I say, I'd rather get nothing, rather than just be quiet and think, or don't feel nice in there. If they're telling me to get lost, well, at least I know why it don't feel so good in there. It's like, they don't want to talk to you. So yeah, it's always good to, like I say, just to have that sort of, do it for the passion, you know, forget about the YouTube side, the Facebook, all that monarchy. You know, when I let go of all that years ago, that's when things started happening for me. It was when I started sort of said, you know what, I'm not interested in this no more, because it's just a platform at the end of the day, just to put your stuff up. And I think once you let go of that and detach from the fact that, you know, oh, I could become a YouTuber, I could be, it, things become so much more easier because you've got nothing to prove to no one. You know, you're doing it for yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. You got to do it for the passion, 100%. And, you know, I see a lot of people nowadays that are really getting caught up and not doing it for the right reasons. And it's sad to see, because it's leading the field down a wrong path in certain areas. But you know what? It's going to happen no matter what. And there's just, you gotta weed through the good and the bad and just keep to yourself like me and you do, and just do your own thing, you know?
Yeah. So. But unfortunately, it's a lot of it to do with that, mate. That's what it comes down to, you know, and that, yeah. You know, if you YouTube and stuff now and Facebook has become a business, isn't it? So it's
yeah.
If people can make money out of it, they're going to go to all sort of lengths to try and do so.
Absolutely. Well, Tony, man, thank you so much. I appreciate all your time, brother, that you give me today.
No worries, man.
And giving me and Tammy. We really appreciate you. Appreciate your work, brother, always. Before you go, please shout out where people can find your stuff at, and where they can view more, you know, real great of evidence.
I'm on YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok. I say, I just, if you type my name in, it should come up. Yeah, just decipher yourself what you guys see and hear and think, and hopefully encourage you guys to go out there and, you know, search for yourselves what's out there and, you know, try a different approach maybe.
Absolutely. That is great. Well, hey, Tony, thank you so much, brother. It was so great talking to you. I hope you have a great rest of your night, my man.
Yeah,
I'll talk to you soon for sure.
Yep, take care, guys. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, babe. So what did you think of today's show? Because I'm
just literally blown away. Like, I have never seen somebody have that much visual evidence.
That's
like,
nothing.
Just like, like, mostly you see stuff that you would try to debunk. But the fact that he goes in and he tries to recreate it, and he talks about his recreations and talking with other people who've had experiences there. I mean, he's doing the legwork. I mean, he's doing the work. It's beautiful. Like, yeah. I loved it.
I can't wait to show you the video that I asked him to send over, the full body apparition. I wish we had it for the show, but I will make sure to bring it for the next show with Tony, because Tony will be back on again. But when I show you, you're going to be like, what? You're going to be like, oh my gosh, because it's a full body apparition. Yeah.
Grail.
That is.
Talking about, like, you can even see, like, her footwear or whatever. And yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's wild. It really truly is. And I can't wait to show you it. But, yeah, it was an amazing show today. I'm super proud of Tony. Tony's a great friend of mine, has been for a while, and I'm just super proud of all that he does, everything that he's included in, everything that he's a part of, him and his friend that he does work with, both two amazing guys. So definitely go and check out Tony Ferguson, check out his TikTok, check out his Facebook, his YouTube. He's all over all the platforms. Check him out, follow him, check out some more real evidence like you saw today. And thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode of Talking with the Source. We truly appreciate you, and we hope that you guys had a great episode.
Absolutely.
So until next time, thank you guys so much. My name is AJ Capasso, and I'm here with Tammy Lee. Later, guys. Bye.
Now, this is the area where apparently you can hear the whistling of Art, or Arthur, the man that died of a heart attack, constructing this part of the lift locks.
Lit up, unless we went back, we actually went right down there. It's just trees. Biggest animal we're going to get in here is a badger or a
fox.
Deer, potentially, yeah. But if it was a deer, we'd be seeing it.
Did you live here?